So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like to share on the subject of living the holy life. Living the holy life. God has called us to live a life that's holy. And we have the ability to live a life that's holy. the word holy in the Bible is very similar to the word for sanctify. And sanctify means to set apart for a particular purpose, from, to set apart from that which is common to something that is for a specific purpose. And they're very, very similar. And in the Old Testament, the two words for holy and sanctify are the same, used the same way as the two Greek words in the New Testament. So the best explanation I have of it, if you want to do any further reading on it, is in this book. Some of you have it, Select Studies by Walter Cummins. There's a chapter on sanctification, and he goes over the detailed difference, and it is pretty finite, the difference. But in a summary, we are sanctified. It's one of the things God has done for us when we got born again, and we become set apart from the world for a specific purpose, and that specific purpose is to live holily. The word holy basically means like pure, pure or clean, not unclean as an opposite, sacred. And our lives are called to live that, for that. That's the purpose of it. So it's interesting to see how this works. But for instance, politicians are made from the voters of the people, citizens, whether it's the state or county or the town or the country. But these are U.S. citizens, supposedly, that are elected for a specific purpose of to uphold the Constitution and make decisions as a representative of the people in the people's good and for the good of the nation. And that's what they're there for. And so they are set apart. They are U.S. citizens or whatever, but they're kind of set apart. But if they choose to do things that are different from the Constitution or different from the will of the people or what's good for the nation, they become corrupt. And that seems to be the common thing. But they are living aside from that which they were elected to do. And so, they get into bribery sometimes. They get into a lot of things. And so they're therefore not living the reason or doing the things for the reason why they were elected. And we see that similar truth in the scriptures, where God has called his people for a specific way of living, and that living is a holy way as opposed to the ways of the world. So we're going to start with Ephesians 1:4. It says, according as he has chosen us, God chose us in him before, in him referring to Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that God has made us holy. And the reason why he's made us holy is because we've chosen Christ and God placed his spirit in us and it made us holy. Let's go to verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What has ultimately separated us from the world is we received the gift of Holy Spirit, and that puts us in a different category. Let's go to verse 2 of chapter 1. Verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. The word saints is the same Greek word as holy in verse 4. It's the Greek word for hagios. Holy Spirit is the Greek word hagios, for Holy Spirit. And it's just really interesting. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So what got us to be separated from the common lot is the new birth. The Lord, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving of that gift of Holy Spirit. It puts us in a different category. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is part of that being set apart. We're set apart. We're in the kingdom of God. And we were in the kingdom of the world beforehand, and we got transferred. And the reason is because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. And when we believed, we received that gift of Holy Spirit. It put us in a different category. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. It makes us special people. If your name was Ed, you'd be special Ed.
Sorry.
So anyway, chapter 7. Didn't he fall on his head?
No special no more.
Now Red, special Ed. Our kids used to sing that song all the time.
Chapter 7, Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 6. And this is in reference to Israel. And God's given them a little info about how they got to be who they got to be. Verse 6 says, "For thou art a holy and holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant which and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. And he will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil and increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which thou swear unto thy fathers to give thee." And it goes on for quite a while on things that God would do to bless his people that he separated from that which was common. Took them from the Gentile nations and separated them. Part of the reason is so he had a group of people that the Christ line would go through, and he could give them laws to protect their asses so they don't die and the Christ can't be born. And he separated those people, and he gave them lots of blessings and had a lot of laws for them to abide by. And they were good laws. It helped them stay alive. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. Beware in the neighborhood. Leviticus. Chapter 20. So the children of Israel were supposed to live a different lifestyle from the nations of the rest of the Gentile nations. Chapter 20, verse 7 says, Sanctify yourselves, therefore, or to set yourself apart, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. And I am the Lord which sanctify you. They were to set themselves, their behavior was to be different from the rest of the world's. Let's go to 1 Peter, back toward the end of the Bible, 1 Peter. So as you go through the Old Testament, you'll see how time and time again, God would work with the children of Israel and work with them in terms of that he had set them apart from the rest of the world. And he also does that with God, his people today, those who are born again of God's Spirit, those who have confessed Jesus as their Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. We are a separated people, or separate people, separated and separate. I don't remember the detail of it, but the separatists were in England, and I think that's what the pilgrims came from, the separatists. They did not liken themselves or identify themselves with the world around them. They wanted to live a life that was separate from the ways of the world. And I guess it was pretty hard to do and hard to believe in England, where the Word of God was supposed to be preached. So they crossed the Atlantic. 1 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection from the dead, to an inheritance," and this is what we're separated unto, "that hope, and to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." You got your ticket. It says heaven bound. The price, you know how the shows and concerts, they always have a price for it. It just says paid. Front row seat. Amazing, everybody gets front row seat. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith or believing being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom we have not seen, whom have you not seen, you love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So just as silver or gold is tried under fire and the dross comes out of it and you get pure gold or pure silver or whatever, when we get the world throws fiery darts at us and we continue to stand, the idea of the end result of all that stuff is that, as the bottom of verse 7, after all that stuff, might be found unto praise and honor and glory to appearing in Jesus Christ, that out of our lives is praise and honor to God. Verse 13, wherefore, in light of this stuff, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Of course, this is after we've been sanctified. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And the word conversation is a behavior or a way of living type of thing. You know, that's what the word conversation means. So we're to be holy in all manner of behavior, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or lifestyle, you know, from the things you were doing before, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we were redeemed with. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flowers thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, these are things in holy living, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envyings, and all speakings, or evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation or your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil or speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which you shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And chapter 4, verse 1 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of the men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought or worked the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run with them, or run not with them, to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So when we get pulled out of the ways of the world, and we choose not to do that anymore, those who are in the world look at you like, why are you doing what you're doing? It's just strange to them. I remember, you know, I got in a word as soon as I went to college, and I didn't party like all the students that were around me. I lived in a dorm, second floor, first floor was the football team. They were housed together. And so to go to different parts of the campus, sometimes I would just go down a staircase instead of going out. I would go down a staircase and go through their floor on the first floor of the building to get out. And it looked like the movie Animal House. When I saw the movie Animal House, I said, that's my college dorm. But the things I saw, I was like, I just didn't relate anymore. It just didn't seem fun looking. I couldn't relate. And, you know, when we are sanctified and we don't run with that type of people and actions, it seems strange to people. It's like, what, you don't want to go get high? And, you know, it just doesn't compute to them. And the way it is. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We don't run with those crowds anymore. we've been set apart, and there's a specific reason, and that is to praise God, love God, do His word, live a life that's pure and holy. You know, it's holy. Not perfect, because that's not available. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, or ask you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your means of being set apart, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, and it's referring to our bodies, how to possess or take care of our bodies or conduct our bodies in sanctification and honor. We're to live like we're separate people. That every one of you should know how to possess him. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. So it's in the scriptures. The more you look, the more you see it. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And it's basically, you know, it's the renewing of the mind to do that which is God's word. We've been called to the greatest calling there is. And our lives should reflect that. And sometimes it's, you know, the people try it and they fail at it, and they keep trying and they keep failing, and the outsider will look and say, you know, you're just an old whatever, and you're trying, but you know, the person's still sanctified and still is endeavoring to live a life that's holy. We have our shortcomings, and sometimes we don't make the mark, but we keep trying. Verse 1 of chapter 12, very familiar verse of Scripture. I beseech you, or beg you, or lovingly implore you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's how we're to present ourselves, as a living sacrifice, that corrupt and terrible? No. We're to do it where it's holy. Part of the qualifications, that our lives are a blessing and have purity to them. Verse 2, and be not conformed, and this is how it works, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of other people's minds. Well, you can only renew your own mind. Thank God. That's a lot of work right there. It really is. God never put the burden on us to have to renew other people's minds. Not even our own children or our own spouse. You know? So, we only need to renew our own minds. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, it's all just part of living the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's just great stuff. But, I know the politician thinks a poor example, but it's something that we experience and see. You know, a person's elected and supposed to, you know, he's called out to a specific purpose, and then it's all, you know, a manipulation of power for their own good. Chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, three things can burn up, and three, if you burn them, they only get better. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." In chapter 6, while we're in the area, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it just shows you there is a distinction between living one way or another, which we've known, but it's always good to see it. Chapter 6, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It's really wonderful. And lastly, we're going to Titus chapter 1. You know, what we do with our bodies and our words are a reflection of what we choose to do, but they should reflect that which is of a godly nature, of that which God would have us to do and speak. Chapter 1, verse 7. And this is given some characteristics of a person, an overseer for God's people. "For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker," so he can't be a baseball pitcher. "Not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." Holy is one of the characteristics of an overseer of God, that their lives are to be holy, represent holiness, purity. So it's just very interesting. You know, the things we do, our lives are to glorify God. And it is it's a big deal. So, no matter what, we're going to heaven. But our lives really are to reflect and to show forth that which God has done for us. And spells out what they are in the Word. And God, you know, when you read the Old Testament, you know, you just see where God's hand is on Israel's, and He delights in them. And they were the apple of His eye. He just loved them. And so when they got into other stuff they weren't supposed to, He'd try to get them out of it. But, you know, He just so loved Israel. He just so loves us. Sometimes we get into the mud, get off the road and into the mud, and then He tries to get us back on the road again. So take that dirt off of us. So I always think not always, but I, in my mind, I always thought of, you know, when you walk into a spider web and you don't know it and you walk into it and it feels creepy and it's like immediately you want to get it off you, every little bit of it. You know, you don't know if the spider is even on there still, but it feels so weird. And that's really how sin is supposed to be to us. If it comes upon us, we went that direction. It's just to feel so horrible, like, I got to get this off of me. And I'm just, you're not supposed to go, ooh, that feels good. But, and there's plenty of examples, you know, Balaam in the Old Testament, he spoke great prophecies for God, and yet he did some incredibly devilish things that evilly affected the children of Israel. You know, he was trying to do both sides. It just doesn't work that way.